tonight, challenging us in their presentation of the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, have you heard the line that old hymn has, which says, "And Jesus Christ can save you too"? That's the news. It's true. And my prayer is you'll find that to be true personally. But presenting the message tonight is Abigail with the children's story, David with his testimony. That's where the children's question is going to come from tonight. Peter, Philip, and Kirsten will be singing, and Reverend William McRae preaching the word.
Here with me, and we can learn a lot from this boot. So, these little holes are called eyelets or eyes, and we have eyes too, and we need to be careful how we use them. The chorus says, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." We often learn a lot by watching others and looking at what they do, but most importantly, we need to look to the Lord. In the Bible, God says, "Look unto me and be ye saved." This is called a lug, and another word for a lug is an ear, and we have ears too, and we need to be careful what we listen to and who we listen to. But most importantly, we need to listen to God, and he tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we need to heed him when he says, ye must be born again. Then we have the tongue, and the tongue is used to keep our foot comfortable inside our shoe. And if the tongue isn't used correctly, it can hurt us. And our tongue is the same. We can use it for good, or we can use it to hurt others. So we need to make sure that we use it for good by saying kind things. We can also use our tongue to call when we need help. And God wants us to call on him for salvation. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The most important part of the shoe is the sole. And the most important part of us is our soul, because it never dies. So we need to ask God to forgive us our sin and save our soul. So boys and girls, the next time you put your shoes on, remember what we've talked about today. And I hope that you can say, like me, your sins are forgiven and the Lord has saved your soul. God bless, and thanks for listening.
Good evening, everyone. David Johnson's my name. It's great to have an opportunity to share a short word of testimony, how the Lord has saved us and kept us. Now, I want to read one verse from John chapter 6 and the verse 37. And it says there, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Now, I was born in 1970. That means I'm coming 50 years old very soon. And before anyone asks, there has been no enhancements done to this video to make me look better or any younger. This is just the way I happen to be. But we do thank God, in all honesty, for his blessing in our lives over these years. I'm married to Brenda. I have a son, Joshua, who's 21, and Caleb, who is 16. Now, I was born in America in 1970. My brother Ian was born in Canada, my brother Jonathan born in Northern Ireland, and my sister Rhonda born in Papua New Guinea. And that's because my parents were missionaries, and they left Northern Ireland in 1969 to go to missionary training initially, and then off to Papua New Guinea. And what a godly example we as children had of mum and dad, who were willing to leave family, friends, and even their careers to one side to take the gospel that they believed in out to those who had never heard the gospel in the land of Papua New Guinea. And I thank God that we were born into a Christian home. And I can never remember a time that I didn't know I needed to be saved. And it was at the age of 6 that I believe I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Saviour. I can recall getting down by my bedside one night in Papua New Guinea, and in simple childlike faith asking the Lord to save me to cleanse me from my sin and to make me right for heaven. And thank God he does save even the boys and girls. Now, we come back to Northern Ireland in 1980, and it wasn't long until I was in secondary school when I realised the struggle with sin. And there were a number of years in my young teenage years where, as we would say, I was off in Bypath Meadow, and certainly did a number of things that I'm not proud of, and I could probably just simply say that sin had dominion over me in those years. My father, who by this time was a pastor, we moved down to the Clocker Valley, and you know, outwardly everyone saw me as the minister's son. Children's meetings, youth fellowships, church meetings, people, you know, probably thought they knew me, but I knew in my own heart that there was sin and that things weren't right spiritually. And by my mid-teens, I even doubted if I was even saved. Had I just simply prayed an empty prayer, could God save someone like me with all my sin? And it was in September 1986 that I got the spiritual question dealt with. And the pastor who was taking a mission on the Monday night spoke on Remember Lot's Wife. And I recall sitting in the pew and saying to myself, I'm going to get this issue dealt with tonight. This mental turmoil, this spiritual uncertainty had to come to a head. And I went and spoke to him, explained how I felt, and he turned me to the verse I read, John 6:37. Again, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And I just remember a peace, a confidence, an assurance that I received that night from God's word, that it wasn't my feelings, it was God's word I could rest upon. And if we come as sinners to him in true repentance, seeking his salvation, that God will not cast a seeking sinner out. Now, my two main passions in life are football and the army. And I was fortunate enough to play in the Irish League for a number of years and have continued in coaching and managing in various roles with various clubs since then, right up to now. And on the army side, I had the experience of travelling around the world with the Royal Irish Rangers Army Reserve. And in 2004, we received the call to go to Iraq on operations. And I was there as a captain, a second in command of a company. And, you know, that was a period where we had to rest upon God's word, trying to make sense of the death on every hand. There were 13 British soldiers killed during our tour. Of course, tens of thousands of Iraqis. And you were tempted to ask, where was God? And that verse over in Romans 8:28 was a great comfort to us, that all things work together for good to them that love God. And if you're saved tonight listening to this, and the current situation with coronavirus, so much fear, so much uncertainty, people have concerns about the future, well, thank God we can turn to his word and have a confidence that what we're going through is for our good, but ultimately for his glory. But if you're tuned in tonight and you're not saved, well, can I challenge you to consider your latter end? You perhaps have a loved one who's perhaps passed because of the virus or some other situation. Maybe you know those who have been sick and close to death, and it's caused you to think of, where will I spend eternity? Well, that's a good question to ask. And thank God this book tells us there is a way of salvation if we put our faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done upon the cross, how he took our sin, paid the penalty, and because he has died and rose again, then we can know our sins forgiven.
Once I stood in the night with my head bowed low, in the darkness as black as could be, and my heart felt alone, and I cried, oh Lord, don't hide your face from me. Like a king I may live, in a palace so tall, with great riches to call my own. But I don't know a thing in this whole wide world that's worse than being alone. Hold my hand all the way, every hour, every day, from here to the great unknown. Take my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone.
Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 10. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Job opens with a statement, man that is born, few days. Notice he didn't say a few years. Life at best is very brief. The psalmist said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Man struts across the stage of time today as if he had many years ahead of him, and yet few days. And even those few days, Job said, full of trouble. And it is true that life has many trials and troubles, and Job experienced that in his life. But we can also say that we have had many blessings too along the way. Then it says in verse 10, but a change comes after those few days, but man dieth. And nobody can deny the reality of death, for it's all around us, it's staring us in the face. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. There was a time when sin was not in this world, only life. But then man chose to willfully reject the warning that God had given to him, to fulfill his own desires, to go his own way. God has said, there's a price to be paid, for the day thou eatest thereof, Adam, thou shalt surely die. The devil told Eve, you'll not surely die, but God meant what he said. Sadly, Eve believed, or so many believe, that somehow you can sin and get away with it. But they didn't, and neither will you. Death is a serious reality because it's the price for sin. Death is promised. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men, not by them, but unto men, once to die. And after this, the judgment. Job said, I know that thou wilt bring me to death. Notice the words, that God will bring man to death, to the house appointed for all living. Friend, you and I can set our plans and make our arrangements, but God has made an appointment for us all. And you and I will find out we have to keep it, and we have no power to avoid it. And the greatest problem about death is this: we don't know when the appointment is going to be. Age means nothing. Strength is no protection, and riches will never buy it off. The great and the small will fall before its sword. The rich and the poor, all will keep the appointment that God has made. Proverbs chapter 27, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, for we all must needs die. And yet, my friend, man pushes that reality to the back of his mind as if it didn't matter, didn't count. But surely, in the light of the unpredictability of the day of our death, it's wise to make preparation. Amos cried, prepare to meet thy God. And now Job asks a very solemn question in the light of the day of our death. He asks this, and where is he? Whenever man comes to die, where does he go? And Job is looking out there into eternity, beyond the short life and beyond death itself. And after this, where? Notice where. Where's the place? Where will you be in eternity, friend? One moment after you die. The Lord Jesus is the one that tells us that there's one of two places. It'll either be in heaven with him or in hell without him. The night before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he gathered his disciples around him. He looked into their troubled faces and he said this, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, notice twice, a place for you. For heaven's not a figment of our imagination, friend. Heaven's a place, the Father's house, home. And I thank God that's where I'm going. One day I'm going home. Paul looked into the very face of death and he said this, to be with Christ, which is far better. The Lord Jesus, in the book of Revelation, speaking to John, told him about that place. It was a place of where there's no separation. It was a place we'll never say goodbye. A place of no more death and no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more blight or curse of sin. No night there. Place of everlasting praise and joy and gladness, reunion and rest. That's my eternal home. But what of the unsaved? Where's he? Where is the place that the sinner, the unconverted person, goes to in eternity? And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us where. In Luke chapter 16, he pulls back. He tells us about a man who died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and there in hell he cried, I am tormented in this flame. There he found hell to be a place of terrifying reality. To open your eyes in hell and be lost there forever, friend, and realize for the first time, my soul is lost forever, and I can never find any way back. Yes, a place of tormenting memories. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime. Because remember this, my friend, it's what you do with Jesus in your lifetime will see your destiny for all eternity. Remember the gospel opportunities. Remember the gospel appeals. Remember a godly mother's tears and prayers. Remember that gospel tract or that gospel mission. Oh, the scorching torments of memory. Felix in hell remembers. He trembled, but that's all he did. Agrippa will remember. He was almost persuaded. That's as far as he got. Judas will remember those 30 pieces of silver that he thought, that thought, it would bring him such joy, but it damned his soul. A place of vile companions. Revelation 21 verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. What an awful catalogue of the occupants of the damned, friend. Will you be there? A place of utter darkness, where the sun will never rise on another day, and the darkness will be felt and strike fear into your lost soul. Sinners in the hands of angry and holy God. But I want to tell you, God has provided a way of salvation. God gave his darling son. He sent him to the cross of Calvary. And there in Calvary's cross, Jesus died that you might be saved, and that for all eternity. Tell me, will you run to God while the voice of God is calling? Or will you choose your own way? Two ways before you lie. And each a choice must make, one upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. Will any choose the path of woe? Each soul must answer yes or no. Friend, heaven or hell? Where is he? Where will you be? I beg you in God's name, choose Christ and come with me to heaven. May God bless you. Amen.